Lux Capacitor. Since we can't go back in time and change the fact that our society has become so dependent on light, there are a couple of things that you can do to reduce the burden that excessive light can have on your body. A study at Harvard Medical School found that exposure to light at night throws the body's biological clock out of whack, which you already know. But what they also discovered was that not all colors of light have the same effect. The Harvard researchers conducted an experiment comparing the effects of 6.5 hours of exposure to blue light, like you get from our everyday tech devices, to exposure to green light of comparable brightness. The blue light suppressed melatonin for about twice as long as the green light did and shifted circadian rhythms by twice as much, 3 hours versus 1.5 hours. The research indicates that just by changing the color spectrum of light that you're exposed to at night, you can help prevent melatonin from being bullied by the Biff-like power of blue lighting. Colors even have a correlating temperature that influences their impact on the human body. According to the Kelvin scale, blue light is at the farthest end of the spectrum, meaning it occurs at higher temperatures, while red occurs at a lower, cooler temperature. This is the opposite of the cultural association attributed to colors in which red is hot and blue is cold. This explains why Harvard researchers recommend using dim red lights at night. According to their data, red light has the least power to shift circadian rhythm and suppress melatonin. Instead of basking in the hot light of standard bulbs from our lamps and overhead lights, try utilizing the soft light of candles in the evening to transition to a great night of sleep. Humans have been using the cherished glow of fire for eons to cook our food, warm our bodies, and light our way at night. But remember, it's still a tiny fire being lit in your home, so use candles with respect and attentiveness. You can even swap out certain lights in your home or a couple of lamps with red bulbs. It might assist in setting a sexy mood to help you with what you learned about in Chapter 9. Whether you're a fan of rock and roll, R&B, country, or even K-pop, the influence of red light is enough to have quite a few songs written about it. It's still helpful to remember that it's not just about the color of light, though this is extremely important. It's also about the luminance. Lux is the unit used to measure luminance. The lux from direct sunlight is upwards of 100,000. Compare that with the normal light exposure our ancestors would get from moonlight at under one tiny lux, and you can see how abnormal our typical evening light exposure can be. Indoor lighting can range from 50 to 500 lux, automatically triggering a suppression of melatonin if you're unprotected from these lights at night. Follow the recommendations in Chapter 3 for lessening your screen exposure after dark. Utilize cooler color lights at home in the evening, and take action to get your bedroom as dark as possible at night to ensure you get the melatonin production and the sleep you really need. Get it blacked out, power tip number one. You don't just want to block out the light from outside, you want to eliminate the troublesome light inside of your bedroom also. One of the biggest culprits is that angry alarm clock staring at you. The alarm clock with the white or blue digits are more disruptive than the ones with the red digits. You can start by simply covering the alarm clock as one tactic. Another option is to find a digital alarm clock with a dimmer adjustment that allows you to turn the clock light all the way off. Cover the clock up or get a better clock. Either way, you'll be doing yourself a favor. Get it blacked out, power tip number two. In preparation for sleeping in your pitch black room, lowering the luminosity of the lights in your home, turning the lights down, or utilizing different color bulbs is a great idea. As the data shows, red lights are great. Plus, candlelight can be a nice alternative. Additionally, Himalayan salt lamps feature a soft pinkish-orange tint. Some research indicates that salt lamps can produce a small amount of the health-giving negative ions that we talked about in Chapter 8. So this goes to show you that you don't have to really love tie-dye shirts in order to enjoy a salt lamp. Get it blacked out, power tip number three. The purpose of using blackout curtains is really to block out unnatural light that will be making its room into your home. But if you live in an area where you don't have street lights, a neighbor's porch light, or cars constantly driving up and down your road, then getting blackout curtains is not totally necessary. Sure, you might have some illuminating moonlight during certain times of the month, but as you know from the lux of moonlight, it's only a fraction of a percent of what you'd be hit with from any other type of artificial light. The caution over light pollution has more to do with unnatural light, not the natural light you'd get from the moon subtly reflecting the rays of the sun. Get it blacked out, power tip number 4. Once you have your blackout curtains, you may find that there is still some light that sneaks in over the top. You can simply roll up a blanket or towel to cover up that area. Physician and New York Times bestselling author Joseph Mercola, D.O., recommends that, even during the midday sun, your bedroom should be very dark when you go in there. There shouldn't be any light sneaking in unless you want it to. Getting rid of the light pollution in your bedroom is a huge key to getting the most peaceful and rejuvenating sleep possible. Chapter 11. Train hard, but smart. Exercise is often considered a virtual fountain of youth if used in the right way. Muscle, for example, is a reservoir for anti-aging hormones that help to protect your DNA from oxidation. The research shows that you can stay younger longer if you have more lean muscle on your body. How does exercise relate to sleep? Well, the two go together like peanut butter and jelly. You actually don't get in shape at the gym while you're exercising. You're literally tearing down your body while you're working out and creating thousands of tiny micro tears in your muscle fibers. When you leave the gym, you're actually in worse shape than when you came in. If I were to take you in for blood work and a hormone panel after a great workout session, your stress hormones would be elevated, your inflammatory biomarkers would be up, and even your blood sugar would be a little bit abnormal. But there is nothing, quote, wrong with you. You just did a great workout that's going to do a lot of good for your body once it gets a chance to heal. The secret is that your body is transformed from your workout while you sleep. This is when your body releases large amounts of beneficial hormones and elicits repair programs to build you up better than before. You just expose yourself to a significant healthy stressor with a workout, but you only get the full reward if you properly rest and recover. The big issue for many people is that they're turning this healthy stressor into an unhealthy stressor. Add exercise to the already big list of work issues, family issues, unpaid bills, poor diet, mental and emotional struggles, etc., and this creates what's known as your overall stress load. Your stress load is the compilation of stress in your life. Stress doesn't have to be bad, but when you put yourself under too much of it, you can break down. Exercise can be amazing for you. As a matter of fact, it's essential to being the healthiest version of yourself. You get so many positive benefits, from improving insulin sensitivity, to boosting healthy hormone function, to enhancing your metabolism. But when it's placed on top of an already overwhelming stress load, it can lead to some significant problems. It's not so much the exercise itself, but the when and how the exercise is done. To optimize your sleep, and thus optimize your results from exercise, you have to utilize a few principles when it comes to working out. Nighttime is not the right time. A recent study at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina, found that morning workouts are ideal if you want to get the best sleep at night. Researchers tracked the sleep patterns of participants who worked out at three different times, 7 a.m., 1 p.m., or 7 p.m. What they discovered was that when people worked out at 7 a.m., they slept longer and had deeper sleep cycles than when they worked out at the other two times. In fact, when they were morning exercisers, they spent up to 75% more time in the deepest, most reparative stages of sleep at night. This is so impressive and a huge leverage point if you're interested in living a longer life and having a better body. Now, this may be counterintuitive for people who believe that you can fall asleep faster after going through a tough workout. One of the big issues with working out late in the evening is that it significantly raises your core body temperature, and it can take upwards of 4 to 6 hours for your temperature to come back down again. As we discussed in Chapter 5, your body goes through a process of thermal regulation to lower your core body temperature to create the optimal environment for sleep. By aimlessly raising your core body temperature with a workout too close to bedtime, you can prevent yourself from getting the best sleep possible. But no need to be worried if you choose to work out later in the day. It's been found that when your core body temperature comes back down after exercise, it actually goes a little bit lower than it normally would. So, if you time things up intelligently, this can be money when it comes to getting the best sleep. Exercising in the late afternoon or early evening is a great idea from a thermoregulation perspective. If you work out at 4:30 p.m., for example, it could set you up nicely to hit the hay at 10 p.m. By then, the stress hormones secreted from your workout have subsided. Your parasympathetic nervous system, the quote, rest and digest system, has had time to take over, and your core body temperature has dropped down to set the optimal environment for sleepy time. So, if you have to pick a time to work out, morning is the best when it comes to sleep. Early evening can provide some benefit if you time things up right. And smack dab in the afternoon shows little to no benefit at all as far as blatant sleep benefits are concerned. Exercise and movement are important no matter when you do it, but we have natural hormonal cycles that we need to honor if we're going to get the most from it. As you know from the cortisol conversation we had in chapter 2, we have a big spike of cortisol in the early morning that is for the sole purpose of doing activity. This is precisely why morning exercise is so helpful for improving your sleep. It can help to encourage that normal release of cortisol in the morning and put your cortisol cycle right on track. From there, it gradually drops during the day and bottoms out when it's our natural time to go to sleep. This is why working out at 1 o'clock in the morning is cute for a Facebook status to show your dedication, but it's plumb dumb when it comes to protecting your mind and body from the deleterious effects of stress. Today, it's pretty common to see 24-hour gyms with dedicated people working out late into the night. I've been a willing participant in late night exercise many times myself. Note, this was in college while my decision-making skills weren't fully developed. I would head down to the gym and train after 10 p.m., play competitive midnight basketball, or even go for a late night run or two. When we're younger, we tend to participate in behaviors like these and not think anything of it. Many of us can eat whatever crazy foods we want, stay up late until the wee hours of the morning, and still be able to get up and pass our exams. Just 10 years later, if you try to pull that stuff, you feel like a certified mess. Well, what happened? Why could so many of us eat things like double stuffed crust pizza all the time when we're younger and still stay relatively lean? Why could we stay up late knowing all of the harmful effects that you know now and still be able to function? Well, to put it simply, at that time in our lives, we have the hormones of a mythical beast. Not a scientific term, but it fits rather nicely. We are just churning out anabolic hormones that are trying to help propel our gene pool to be successful in the future. This is why all of us look so different when we compare our pictures from when we were 6, 16, and whatever age you're at now. Your body changed because your hormones changed. And this is where the real transformational power is located. We'll talk more about optimizing hormone function and getting some of that youthful juice, aka mythical beast juice, back in your system in chapter 13. For now, it's critical to understand that those behaviors in your college days aren't without a cost. As a matter of fact, the research shows that those behaviors actually accelerate your aging and speed up the date that your youth and vitality slip out of your hands. Tonight we are young, tomorrow, not so much. The most accurate biological marker we have that can tell us how long we're going to live is something called telomeres. Telomeres are like the little plastic end caps on the tips of your shoestrings that keep them from fraying. But instead of it being your shoestrings, telomeres are the end caps on your chromosomes that keep them from breaking down and fraying. As we age, segments of our telomeres get clipped off until eventually there's nothing left and there's a breakdown of the cellular material. In rudimentary terms, this is what aging actually looks like. It happens every day, but slowly over the years, though there is one big issue. It's been confirmed that certain lifestyle practices can either slow down or accelerate the loss of your telomere length. Research conducted by scientists at the University of California found that sleep deprivation is one of the single biggest triggers for accelerated loss of your telomere length. What this means is that those days in our teens and early 20s, when we decided to forego the sleep our bodies need, we could definitely, quote, get by easier, But we're unknowingly accelerating our aging so much that we won't even know what hit us when it all suddenly stops. Suddenly, you don't have the energy you once did. Suddenly, you get sick more often. Suddenly, you start to experience more aches and pains. Suddenly, it's incredibly difficult to get rid of unwanted weight. I'm not talking about people in their 70s and 80s. I'm talking about millions of people experiencing this in their late 20s. We're inadvertently speeding up our aging process, and hardly anyone has the opportunity to figure out why. This is the reason it's essential that this information about sleeping smarter is shared readily with our kids, especially high school and college students, so they can be armed with the knowledge that's going to support them in staying healthy, strong, and youthful for many years to come. The good news for all of us is that our telomere length can be fortified with healthy lifestyle factors. Research published in Archives of Internal Medicine found that people who did a moderate amount of exercise, about 100 minutes of activity per week, such as tennis, swimming, or running, had telomeres that on average looked like those of someone about 5 or 6 years younger as compared to those who did the least exercise, which was about 16 minutes per week. This reiterates the fact that exercise can be like an all-you-can-drink fountain of youth. Couple that with the improvements it delivers for your sleep, and you can start to see why smart exercise is a must for our health and longevity. The big key here is to time your exercise appropriately. Clearly, staying up late has its downside, but exercising late has an even bigger downside. And it's not just about staying up late and working out in the evening. It's also not a good idea to interrupt your sleep to get up at 3 o'clock a.m. to go trudge along on the treadmill. Your hormone cycles are not designed to be up at those hours going hard in the gym. Take full advantage of this knowledge and structure your life in a way that allows you to exercise at the best time to have the body and health you deserve. You have more power in this than you think. Remember, we are not just products of our environment, we are creators of our environment. Insane in the membrane. I had a client a few years back who moved here to the United States from France to go to college. He came to work with me in the gym and had some very specific physical goals that he wanted to accomplish. After doing an analysis, I found out that he had been suffering from a sleeping disorder for about 8 years. He typically didn't sleep for more than 4 hours a night, and he was diagnosed with clinical insomnia. I can tell you, it was written all over his face and body. I said to him, "I can kick your butt all day in the gym, but you'll never get the body you want until you get the sleep component in order." He was reluctant to focus on it because it had been so difficult for him in the past, but he agreed to try a few of my suggestions, and the rest was, as the French say, history. Instead of the long-duration cardio he'd been used to, I banned him from doing cardio temporarily. We focused on heavy, superset-style strength training. His workouts were short but intense, and within a few days, everything changed. He came in to see me about a week after he started training with me, and he said, "I don't know what you did, but I slept like a baby." Remember, it was a French accent. This was quite transformative for him, and his life was changed forever. Again, exercise is a stressor in and of itself. It's known as a hormetic stressor, something that, in the right dose, can be incredibly beneficial to the human body. But that's true if and only if your body is allowed to adapt, i.e., get the sleep you need. Conventional moderate-paced jogging is the mother of all long-duration catabolic exercise. You're keeping your sympathetic nervous system firing continuously for the 30 minutes or so that you're jogging, plus all of the stress hormones you secrete don't get a chance to get broken down and eliminated. They build up in your body like a balloon being filled with too much water. Can running be good for you? Absolutely. But it comes with some important caveats. We've been misled to believe that, quote, cardio in the form of jogging for long periods is the ideal way to lose fat. The reality is that nothing could be further from the truth. Running for long distances can radically increase muscle loss through a process called gluconeogenesis. Muscle is your body's fat-burning machinery, and if you lose it by running too much, you will depress your metabolism and find that if you don't keep running day after day, you'll start getting fat very quickly. You and Forrest Gump can keep on running, but I'm going to go ahead and sit this one out. Bottom line, you don't need to run for long periods of time to lose fat. Thinking that is like thinking the tooth fairy exists. The biggest caveat is that you should do long distance running only if you truly love it. If the purpose of your running is not for fat loss, but instead it's meditative and something that you just enjoy, then go for it. Just be aware and be smart about it, and make sure that you do some of the other stuff that you're going to learn about. Quality over quantity. To get the best hormonal response, you need to lift heavy weights. This will trigger your body to secrete more anabolic hormones that will enable you to feel better, look better, and sleep better. Most men have no issues with this, but many women still have the idea that lifting heavy weights will make them, quote, bulky. The reality is that most of the men who lift weights like crazy still struggle to put on size. Compared to women, men naturally have significantly higher levels of testosterone that aid in mass building. Yet, even that doesn't help them pack on the size just because they started lifting weights. Today's modern man will often resort to weight gain shakes, quote, dirty bulking, aka eating a bunch of high-calorie crappy food, and tons of supplements, yet still only see lackluster results in getting bigger. So unless a woman is taking a steroid cocktail and eating like it's her full-time job, she doesn't have to worry much at all about getting bulky. This is not what lifting heavy weight is all about anyways. And I don't want a single woman to lose sight of the real unrivaled benefit that lifting weights can give you. As a matter of fact, if you lose weight through the traditional ways of dieting and cardio, you'll simply be able to go from an apple shape to a smaller apple shape. By lifting weights, you can actually change your body's composition and potentially go from an apple shape to an hourglass shape. Lifting weights enables you to express your true genetic potential. Your genes expect you to lift heavy things, and when you do that, your body changes accordingly. Bottom line, lifting weights doesn't make you big. Eating a large amount of food makes you big. Lifting weights won't make you big and bulky. Chocolate croissants will make you big and bulky. I'm still in my French state of mind right now. To optimize my former insomniac client's sleep, I had him lift heavy weights for just 3 30-minute sessions per week. He dropped body fat, improved his health biomarkers, and, most important, got the sleep he really required. Sleep, exercise, eat, repeat. Always remember that making regular exercise a part of your life isn't just about having a great body. It's about having great sleep. A study published in the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine found that patients with primary insomnia had a radical improvement in their sleep quality when they added in a consistent exercise regimen. The study used a polysonogram to measure the results. A polysonogram is a sleep test that records your brain waves, the oxygen level in your blood, heart rate, and breathing, as well as eye and leg movements. Basically, there are so many wires on you while you sleep that it looks like Spider-Man hit you with a web. Here's exactly what they discovered. Test subjects who started exercising experienced, number one, a 55% improvement in sleep onset latency. Basically, they fell asleep faster. Two, a 30% decrease in the total wake time during the test. Three, an 18% increase in total sleep time during the test. And four, a 13% increase in sleep efficiency. Basically, an improvement in the quality of their sleep. All of this from adding in exercise, not a pill, not rubbing a magic lamp, but from exercise. Studies show that there are improvements immediately, but the substantial benefit to sleep health kicks in after a couple of weeks of consistent exercise. The key word here is consistent, and trying to create consistency after years of inconsistency can be like trying to herd cats. It takes a smart approach and some specific triggers to ensure that exercise is a regular part of your life. I'm going to share some important insights with you in the power tip section to ensure that you exercise regularly and take the best possible care of yourself. Sleep and athletic performance. It's not surprising that world-class athletes utilize sleep as a part of their overall training programs. Athletes like LeBron James, Roger Federer, and Michelle Wie average more than 10 hours of sleep per night. Venus Williams, Lindsey Vonn, and Usain Bolt hardly go a day without getting at least 8. Fatigue Science gathered statements from some of the top athletes on the planet, and Usain Bolt, the fastest man in history, said, "Sleep is extremely important to me. I need to rest and recover in order for the training I do to be absorbed by my body." This quote perfectly states how your body doesn't change from the training alone. It changes based on the quality of the sleep that you get. Researchers at Stanford University actually set out to examine the benefits of sleep on athletic performance. The test subjects were members of the men's varsity basketball team, and the results they saw were absolutely shocking. After increasing the amount of sleep they got, with the average ending up at 8.5 hours, board-certified sleep specialist Michael J. Bruce, Ph.D., laid the data out like this. 1. The athletes ran significantly faster. Players shaved nearly 1 full second off of their sprint times. 2. Their shooting improved dramatically. Players saw their free throw shooting and their three-point shooting improve by 9%. 3. They felt less fatigue and less daytime sleepiness, which improved their overall reaction times as well. 4. They reported an improvement in their moods and their overall physical well-being. This was reported during both games and practice. If you want to perform at your best, then getting great sleep is an absolute must. It's a competitive advantage that all of us have access to if we choose it and we structure our time wisely. Remember, it's not just about sleeping more, it's about sleeping smarter. And the tips below are going to help you to do just that. Train smart power tip number 1. Whether you choose to do a full workout in the morning or afternoon, make sure to get some activity in during the first part of the day regardless. You don't have to hit the gym to encourage that natural hormone spike that helps to set you up for a great night of sleep. You can take just a few minutes to do some bodyweight exercises, go for a power walk, do some rebounding on a mini trampoline, do some yoga, hit a few sets of kettlebell swings, do Tabata, or so many other things. Doing just a few minutes of any of these won't interfere with your training later in the day, if that's when you choose to train. If you prefer to do a full workout in the morning, then simply do that. Whatever way you slice it, the clinically proven benefits of activity in the morning are just too good to pass up. Train smart power tip number 2. Take out a schedule and block off specific appointment times for you to work out using the info we covered in this chapter. You can set a time for the morning or early evening. Just ensure that you're giving yourself the best advantage for getting great sleep. If you're really serious about being the healthiest person you can be, you'll set your personal exercise appointment and sleep time first, then schedule everything else around them. Train smart power tip number 3. Do something you enjoy. The best form of exercise is the exercise you'll actually do. It's difficult enough to fit exercise in with all of the things we have going on today. Why make it harder by planning to do something that you don't like? Strength training is obviously important for everybody based on what you've already learned, but there are many ways to go about getting the exercise you need and making it fun. Outside of a couple of days of strength training, which is essential, and many people love doing this already, add some days of additional activities that you enjoy. Maybe it's basketball, maybe it's dancing, maybe yoga or Pilates classes. Whatever it may be for you, make it a commitment to yourself to do that. You have the right to enjoy the process of getting well. Find something that you love to do and do it often. Train smart power tip number 4. Get an accountability partner. Statistics show that having an external accountability drastically increases your rate of follow through. When it comes to accountability, the most important prerequisite is to have a person or people who believe in you. It's not the best idea to look for support in people who might doubt you and shut you down, even unintentionally. When you are working to change your body and your health, everyone around you might not be that supportive. That's why it's so important to connect with people who are on the same path as you. I highly recommend listening to my number one rated health and fitness show, now downloaded in more than 200 countries, to get the additional motivation, education, and empowering messages that you need to help take you to a whole new level. Visit themodelhealthshow.com or subscribe to The Model Health Show on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere that you listen to podcasts on your favorite device. You can also join the Sleep Smarter Facebook group via the bonus resource guide. That's at sleepsmarterbook.com/bonus. And get matched up with some helpful accountability there too. When selecting a one-on-one accountability partner, avoid choosing someone who has a history of struggling with the same challenge that you have. If your issue is simply getting to the gym, then don't partner up with someone who struggles to get to the gym. That's like getting guidance on cooking from someone who barely knows their way around a microwave. Instead, look for someone who's better, or at least a little bit better, in the area that you need improvement in. And hopefully, you can offer them the same thing in another area. That's how great partnerships and one-on-one accountability partners work. Train smart power tip number 5. It's not only that exercise impacts your sleep, but sleep also impacts your exercise. Research published in the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine found that a poor night's sleep led to less frequent and shorter workouts the next day. The researchers set out to find if exercise improved sleep quality for insomniacs, which it did. But they were surprised to learn that if a night of poor sleep occurred, the next day the motivation to exercise would drop dramatically. It wasn't until after weeks of pushing through that better sleep and consistent exercise evened out. It's important to be aware of this and know that getting good sleep is a part of your overall motivation. But in the beginning, if you have to push yourself a little more to exercise, have the courage to do so, knowing that eventually you won't have to push yourself because the vision of a better life and the way you feel will start to pull you. Train smart power tip number 6. Make sure that you're lifting weights at least 2 days per week. Focus on compound lifts that really give you the most bang for your buck. You can grab some sample step-by-step exercise protocols in the Sleep Smarter Bonus Resource Guide. Even though the bonus resource guide is amazing, a little planning and common sense will do just fine here. If you have a history of sleep problems, I recommend short, superset training sessions that last no longer than 30 minutes. You can do this by pairing two exercises together for non-competing muscle groups. We'll use legs and chest in this example. Do 8 to 10 reps of weighted squats, followed immediately by 8 to 10 reps of incline presses. Rest until fully recovered, upwards of 2 minutes, then repeat the superset again. You can switch up the exercises and rest time, but the basic format remains the same. Structuring your program like this is great for fat loss and optimizing your hormones for a better night's sleep. Chapter 12. Get your friends out of your room. Cell phones, televisions, desktops, laptops, iPads, Kindles, tablets, and more. Many people have turned their bedrooms into miniature Best Buy locations. But what are the health risks associated with this? And what in the world is it doing to our sleep? A study sponsored by mobile companies themselves found that talking on cell phones before bed caused people to take longer to reach critical deep stages of sleep, and they spent less time in deep sleep. This translates to a diminished ability for the body to heal, depressed immune function, depressed hormone function, and poorer performance the following day. Researchers at Loughborough University Sleep Research Center in England set out to test the impact of cell phone radiation on the human brain. In the study, they strapped cell phones to the heads of study participants and monitored their brain waves by EEG while the phone was switched on and off by remote computer. The experiment revealed that after the phone was switched to talk mode, as if you were on a call, brainwave patterns called delta waves remained depressed for more than an hour after the phone was turned off. These delta brainwaves are the most reliable marker for deep sleep. A significant portion of your sleep consists of this stage, and interference with it will have a noticeable effect on sleep efficiency, which is exactly what the researchers observed. When the test subjects were allowed to go to sleep, they ended up remaining awake twice as long after the phone was shut off. They could not fall into deeper levels of sleep for nearly one full hour after the cell phone radiation stopped playing hide-and-go-seek with their brain waves. This is not a futile plea to break out the tinfoil hats and to hide from our technology. As we know, our development and use of technology is ever-expanding and a valuable part of our lives. However, it's a great idea to be aware of these potential issues and utilize smart strategies to protect ourselves accordingly. The most alarming part is that right now at least 50% of Americans sleep with their cell phones right by their sides. Many people will admit to checking message alerts in the middle of the night and needlessly disrupting their sleep patterns. Plus, many more will admit that the first thing they do each day is reach for the cell phone as soon as they wake up. Our attention is enormously valuable, and how you begin and end your day has a huge impact on the results in your life. Starting the day checking emails and messages on your phone immediately puts other people's priorities ahead of yours. You start the day addressing other people's needs instead of taking time to care for yourself physically and getting focused on your own goals for the day. You are, in essence, saying, "I know I have things I want to accomplish, but I would much rather try to take care of them last when I'm stressed out, out of time, and out of energy." Ending your day by kissing your cell phone goodnight and laying it by your side is another surefire way to set yourself up for failure. Your thoughts are lingering on your last interaction on your cell phone and not your goals. And as we discussed in Chapter 3, the spectrum of light emitted from your cell phone screen triggers your brain to secrete more daytime hormones, which delay and reduce the secretion of the sleepy time hormone, melatonin. Cooking up cancer. We already covered some powerful reasons to keep your cell phone out of your bedroom, but the issues go far deeper than that. Our appliances and electronic devices emit both electric and magnetic fields, known as EMFs. Electric fields are easily blocked by walls and other objects, but magnetic fields can pass through walls, buildings, and the human body with ease. EMFs have been found to cause disruption in the communication among the cells in our bodies. If the wrong information is communicated among the upwards of 100 trillion cells you have, autoimmune diseases can manifest, hormones can be thrown out of whack, and even cancer cells can show their ugly faces. EMFs from our common electronic friends have been linked to leukemia, brain tumors, and breast cancer, along with several other serious issues. So what about cell phone EMFs? The World Health Organization has now classified cell phone radiation as a group 2B carcinogen. Research author Sigel Sedesky, MD, MPH, a cancer specialist at Tel Aviv University in Israel, testified at a U.S. Senate hearing that cell phones were identified as a contributor to salivary gland tumors. The report states that your risk of getting a parotid tumor on the same side of your head that you use for listening to the cell phone increases by 34% if you're a regular cell phone user and have used a mobile device for 5 years, 58% if you've had more than 5,500 calls in your life, and 49% if you have spoken on the phone for at least 266.3 hours during your entire lifetime. Still not convinced? A study published in Radiation Protection Dosimetry found that melatonin secretion is significantly disrupted by exposure to electromagnetic fields. The study's authors concluded that would be in our best interest if we limit our exposure to even weak EMFs. As you know, melatonin is not just a critical hormone for regulating sleep, it's also an important anti-cancer hormone. With consistent exposure to EMFs, our body's melatonin production can be thrown out of whack. It's important to realize that Wi-Fi and various forms of radio waves are extremely new forms of energy that we humans have been playing around with. We know that the human body is extremely conductive. Because it has been such a short time since we've had this form of technology, we still don't know the long-term impact of creating a giant Wi-Fi umbrella around our world. Today we have 24/7 connection to technology. I remember back before the advent of cell phones, when people left their houses, you simply couldn't get in touch with them until they returned home. If people were out, they would just stop by your house. "Hey, I was in the neighborhood and thought I'd stop by." We were happy to have friends and family drop by for company. Today, practically everyone in the developed world has a cell phone. It's attached to their hip most of the time, providing constant access to the infinite info on the internet. And people around the world have nonstop access to you. Because of this increase in constant access, we've seen a correlating decrease in intimate connection. Sure, you can message people from anywhere at any time. But if you hear an actual knock at your door, you're probably like, "Who the heck is that?" If someone is at home with you, you'll ask, "Are you expecting somebody?" While simultaneously trying to peek and see who it is and not being able to hide your annoyance. Don't they know it's 2 p.m. on a Tuesday? Are they really just going to knock on the door like that? This may seem funny, and maybe you've seen this before, but even grandma knows that she'd better text before she comes over. And don't just pop up and text, "Hey, I'm in the driveway." That just doesn't cut it. You can have round-the-clock access to me, but just make sure to give me plenty of advance notice before you actually come over. Our reliance on cell phones and other technology has changed the way we relate to each other and changed the way that our cells relate to each other too. And the effects on children are far worse. Unfortunately, children and teens are at a greater risk, both for parotid gland tumors and brain tumors, because their thinner skull bones allow for greater penetration of cell phone radiation. The radiation can deeply impact tissues all the way to their midbrain, where tumors are more fatal. Additionally, children's cells reproduce faster, so they're more susceptible to aggressive cell growth. The biggest issue today is that kids face longer lifetime exposure. Many adults can clearly remember a time when cell phones didn't exist, whereas all the younger people alive today were born into the widespread use of cell phones. According to Leonard Hardell, MD, PhD, professor in the Department of Oncology at University Hospital in Örebro, Sweden, people who begin using cell phones heavily as teenagers have 4 to 5 times more brain cancer as young adults. Electronic teddy bear. The moral of the story here, don't keep cell phones around your body needlessly, and communicate this to the young people in your life as well. And knowing these effects, why in the world would you sleep with your cell phone right next to your head all night long? People hang on to their cell phones and electronic devices like they're their best friends in the world. They act like they're going to fall out and die if they don't have their cell phone within texting distance. Trust me, you'll live. And if you don't pay attention to this, all of the rest of your years are not going to be very fun. Get the electronics out of your bedroom. If sleep is important to you, then you'll do this. If being healthy and not having a chronic disease is important to you, then you'll do this. Television, laptops, cell phones, all of these things are kicking out radiation that is disrupting your sleep. Have your entertainment in the entertainment area of your home. Keep your bedroom reserved for sleep and sex. Numerous studies have confirmed that watching television before bed disrupts your sleep cycle. It might seem like a mundane activity to sit back and watch TV in your bed, but parts of your brain are being set off like fireworks. You're actually putting a stressor on your brain and body, especially if it's time to be winding down for bed. Data show that children with televisions in their bedrooms score lower on school exams and are more likely to have sleep problems. And to top it all off, having a TV in the bedroom is associated with a greater risk of obesity. Well, what about for mama and papa? Well, a recent study that tracked the sex lives of 523 Italian couples found that couples who don't have a TV in their bedroom have about twice as much sex as couples who do. This is the part of the book where some people smack themselves and then go and get the television out of their bedroom. On the other side, people with TVs in their bedroom are generally having 50% less sex, and according to the research, after the age of 50, the decline is even more noticeable when a TV is present. More and better sex should be reason enough for most people. I'll bet that after the world discovers this proven data, you'll be shocked if you see a television in a bedroom from then on. You'll walk into someone's bedroom, see a TV, then put your hand over your chest and gasp and say, "Really? People still watch TV in bed? Really?" And speaking of sex and electronics, a study published in the journal Fertility and Sterility found that 4 hours of wireless internet-connected laptop exposure led to a significant decrease in progressive sperm motility and an increase in sperm DNA fragmentation. Sexual health and advanced technology don't mix very well. Unless, of course, you're a robot from the future. And in that case, keep doing what you're doing. It's these small things that we take for granted every day that can have a big impact on the results that we get. Having these electronics in your bedroom is like a first-degree assault on your sleep and your body. Take action on this now, out of respect for your body, and get those gadgets out of your bedroom. Stack the conditions in your favor to ensure that you're creating an environment to get the best sleep that you truly deserve. Friends out power tip number one. Many people use their cell phones as a Swiss Army knife to replace a lot of other useful devices. One of those useful devices is an alarm clock. To avoid this seduction of keeping your cell phone near your bedside, simply take action to use an actual alarm clock. You can use an alarm clock like I recommended in Chapter 10 with a full shut-off dimmer. You can use a traditional buzzer alarm clock. You can even use a rooster for all I care. Just stop using your cell phone if you don't have to. Friends out power tip number two. Reminders about the importance of communication in a relationship have become cliche. Yet the reality of the situation is that communication is the basis for any successful union. If you want to get the TV out of your bedroom, but you're worried that your partner won't want to go along with it, simply have a compassionate heart-to-heart with them. Explain why this is important to you and ask them if they'd be willing to work with you on this because you respect them and you want them to be happy as well. You'll probably be surprised what a little extra love and communication can do. Plus, give them a copy of this book as a backup. Friends out power tip number three. It's suggested that things like televisions, stereos, air conditioner units, computers, and refrigerators be at least 6 feet away from your bed at night. That means 6 feet in the vertical sense too. If you're at all able to position your bed in a way that it achieves this recommended distance, then that's great. Sometimes there are extenuating circumstances, but always do the best that you can with what you have right now. Another potential issue can be the mattress itself. Research published in Scientific American states that in the United States, bed frames and box springs are made of metal, and the length of the bed is exactly half of the wavelength of FM and TV transmissions that have been broadcasting since the late 1940s. Radiation envelops our bodies so that the maximum strength of the field develops 75 centimeters above the mattress in the middle of our bodies. When sleeping on the right side, the body's left side will thereby be exposed to field strength about twice as strong as what the right side absorbs. Our mattresses can literally be a conductor of EMFs. That's not great news, but don't freak out. We'll talk a little bit more about mattresses in Chapter 15. But if you already love the bed you're in, you can simply get some EMF shielding bed lining for use on your already existing mattress. This bedwear is shown to have a shielding effectiveness of 99.7%. You could find out more through the bonus resources at sleepsmarterbook.com/bonus. Friends out power tip number four. If you think there's a chance that your sleep and health are being affected by Wi-Fi exposure in your home, simply get in the habit of turning off the Wi-Fi at night. Biomechanist and best-selling author Katie Bowman utilizes a basic electrical timer to do this automatically. You simply install it in the socket where you plug in your router and just set it to turn off the power during your preferred sleepy time. You can find out more info about these easy-to-use electrical timers in the Sleep Smarter bonus resource guide as well. Friends out power tip number five. I know it might sound crazy, but everything will be okay if you keep your phone in another room while you sleep. It's 99.999% likely that you won't miss anything important, but you will radically improve your sleep quality if you're not allowing your cell phone's notifications and radiation to disrupt your valuable sleep. Go on a cell phone-free test drive. Just give it a shot for 1 week. If the world ends while you're sleeping peacefully during that period, I'll try and call you the next day and let you know. Chapter 13. Lose weight and don't find it again. One of the most overlooked problems with getting great sleep is having too much body fat on your frame. Being overweight causes severe stress to your internal organs and nervous system, and it disrupts your endocrine system like few things can. As we've discussed, your endocrine system, aka your body's hormonal system, is responsible for producing hormones like melatonin, oxytocin, and cortisol, which, as we've noted, have important roles in relation to sleep. Let's take a look at the impact that being overweight has on cortisol, for example. Research presented at Deakin University in Australia found that after consuming a meal, overweight individuals secreted radically higher levels of the stress hormone cortisol. People with a healthy weight showed a 5% increase in cortisol levels after consuming a meal, while overweight and obese individuals' cortisol levels increased by a whopping 51%. These high cortisol levels translate to higher blood sugar, lower insulin sensitivity, and increased levels of inflammation. The biggest issue is that cortisol is as close to an anti-sleep hormone as you can get. Having higher levels of this stress hormone in your body will inherently damage normal function, no matter what time of day the meal is eaten. To know that each time you eat a meal, your stress hormones are shooting through the roof is scary. This is one of the most important reasons to get the weight off, because it's killing you softly, like that old Fugees song. The adage of not eating late at night if you want to lose weight actually has merit in this regard. But it's not that eating late at night is problematic in and of itself. It's when we are already overweight that it becomes a real concern. I should know. I've been on both sides of the spectrum. Eating late and being lean. I have a pair or two of fat genes. Pretty much everyone in my family while I was growing up was on the wrong side of 200 pounds. And this was horizontal weight, not vertical. For a time, I got to see what my own fat genes looked like when I put them on. When I was dealing with the condition with my back, my body was puffy, painful, and seemingly paralyzed from a lack of energy. It took so much to do so little. And when the tides changed, they changed in a big way. I took my fat jeans off and put some really nice jeans on that I can get around in. I went from nearly 20% body fat to sub 7% body fat. It was crazy how effortless it seemed once I got momentum rolling. But the key was simply that I had to get started in the first place. While I was eating real food, being active every day, and sleeping like it was my long-lost love, I actually had a habit of eating late at night, every night. I'd eat a meal right around 10 p.m. before going to bed. The crazy thing was, I had never been so lean and healthy in my life. It's not that eating late is bad for weight loss, or that your body won't, quote, burn it off, or any other popular idea like that. It's what's going on with your hormones that matters most. And when your hormones are in order, your life seems in order. So what the heck are hormones anyway? Hormones are chemical messengers that deliver information throughout all the cells in your body. Similar to what we talked about in chapter 12, just one piece of data being off, just one small miscommunication, can lead to a totally different outcome. It's like that old game of telephone where one person starts with a message and whispers it into the ear of the next person, who continues to pass the message on. By the time it reaches the 10th person, the message could have gone from, I can't wait to get some sleep tonight, to, I can't wait to date a sheep tonight. Though counting sheep is synonymous with sleep, dating one is pretty weird, and not what the communication started out to be. In the same way, you might not have intended for your body to do certain things, but when hormones are miscommunicating messages, things can get botched up really quickly. The big secret that needs to be understood from this day forward is that you have a huge impact on what your hormones are doing every moment of your life. Hormones are going to change their ratios and functions as you age. That's just a part of living. But what we've accepted as normal aging and normal health is anything but. We are either supporting normal hormone function or working against it with the decisions we make. We need to eat hormone-healthy foods, practice hormone-healthy exercise, and, as you know, improve the quality of our sleep because it's one of the biggest navigators of our hormones overall. My extra weight was definitely a contributor to my sleep problems. I knew this experientially, but the research shows it too. Scientists at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine conducted a study on people with reported sleep problems, such as sleep apnea, daytime fatigue, insomnia, and restless or interrupted sleep. Half of the volunteers went on a weight loss diet with supervised exercise training. The other half just did the diet. After 6 months, the participants in both groups had lost an average of 15 pounds and reduced their belly fat by 15%. As a result, the researchers found that each group equally boosted their sleep quality by about 20%, with a reduction in belly fat being the best indicator of improved sleep. This study also demonstrates that even without the vast benefits of exercise, the power of simply changing your diet has a huge impact on the results that you get. The dark night. One of the more obvious issues that being overweight can have on sleep quality is sleep apnea. This is a sleep disorder characterized by pauses in breathing or infrequent breathing during sleep. Each pause in breathing, called an apnea, can last at least 10 seconds to several minutes and can occur 5 to 30 times or more an hour. Basically, you stop breathing and that results in abnormal blood pressure, depressed brain function, and dozens of other problems. Neuroscientist and sleep disorder researcher Margaret Moline, PhD, states, quote, as the person gains weight, especially in the trunk and neck area, the risk of sleep disordered breathing increases due to compromised respiratory function, end quote. Currently, more than 18 million Americans have sleep apnea, and several million more have severe organ stress and breathing problems due to the excess weight they're carrying around. One of the most common treatments for sleep apnea is to hook yourself to an assisted breathing machine known as a CPAP when you get into bed. These devices can be absolutely life-changing for some people in the short term, but with the increase in sleep quality and energy they provide, these machines should be used as a catalyst for addressing the real problem. Plus, some of the CPAP units basically make you look like Bane from The Dark Knight Rises. Cool if you're into that look, but it will definitely have a negative impact on your love life.
I was born in the darkness.
The real solution is to not treat the symptom, but to address the underlying cause of most sleep apnea in the first place. Getting the excess weight off of your frame is the key. When we talk about weight loss, we're talking about an issue that plagues millions of people worldwide each year. Good people, smart people, truly determined people, it doesn't matter. If you give a determined person the wrong map, they will inherently end up at the wrong destination. That's what I found to be the biggest problem when it comes to weight loss. There's a serious lack of honest, safe, and effective information. You have to understand that the weight loss industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, and it doesn't work well if there aren't lots of people struggling to figure this stuff out. By using the backwards methods taught by many health gurus, the majority of people lose the weight and then they proceed to find it again. They work so hard to get the results they want, then eventually put the weight back on, and oftentimes a little bit more than they started with. If this is your story, then it's time now to step up and stop letting this happen to you. I'm about to make this so easy that chances are you'll take it for granted. I've helped people lose thousands of pounds collectively and keep them off long term. What I'm going to share with you works, but you've got to make the decision to implement it. The lowdown. If you're focusing on cutting calories to lose weight, then you might as well go and buy yourself some larger size clothes right now. Research shows that up to 70% of the weight that you lose through traditional calorie restriction is coming from a loss of your lean muscle tissue. As mentioned in Chapter 11, this muscle is your body's fat-burning machinery. And if you lose it through dieting, you'll depress your metabolism and set yourself up for long-term weight gain. The problem is that most people are thinking